Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is from our epistle reading from Romans, the first chapter. The congregation may be seated. Have you ever been shamed into doing something you didn't want to do? Have you ever been forced to give up your convictions because you're afraid someone might call you a name, like bigot or chauvinist, or that your friends might shun or ostracize you? Have you ever done something risky or wrong because you didn't want to be called a chicken or a wimp? How many people go along with evolution or global warming because they want to be labeled anti-science or out of touch? Not many of us are like that little girl in the Expedia commercial who is proud to wear her cute little tiger outfit to the zoo to see what else? The tigers? She looks like she's somewhere around 5 or 6. I wonder if she would wear that outfit to the zoo if she was 15 or 16. You know, it's okay to be different when you're 5 or 6. But not when you're 15 or 16, or 25 or 26, or 55 or 56. When you grow up, you find out that the world doesn't like different. In the 1990s, Apple Computer had their Think Different ad campaign. Today, at Apple Computer, if you think different, you're fired. I think our young people can tell you all about the power of shame when it comes to peer pressure. Shaming works because we don't like to be different. We don't like to be the ones going north when everyone else is going south. A young woman may very well go against her convictions and sleep with a young man so she isn't called a prude. A young man may be tempted to shoplift so his friends don't call him a goody-goody. And I'm using rather mild language here rather than the things that boys do say to each other. And it's not just our youth. How many adults won't blow the whistle on wrongdoing in the workplace because they don't want to suffer the shame of losing their jobs or being ostracized by their peers? And look at all these politicians who will not do what is right and moral because they're afraid of the shame that they will suffer from social media. Shame is a powerful tool in the hands of the devil. He uses shame to quiet our Christian witness. The devil uses our inborn desire not to be different, to get Christians to resist the Holy Spirit and go against their consciences and do things that they know are contrary to the will of God. The devil uses the fear of shame to get Christians to reject, to be uncomfortable with the sound teachings of God's holy word, so that they'll be loved instead by the world. The devil uses the fear of shame to get Christians to even deny Christ and his gospel in the public square. The devil uses our fear of being different, uses that fear against us, so Christians will put off their baptismal garments and put on sin. Why are there so many Christians today that espouse the notion that God will save everyone, except that they're afraid to confess the gospel, that Jesus, and Jesus alone, is the only way to heaven? But the Apostle Paul announces in our text today that the gospel of Jesus Christ is nothing to be ashamed of. It is the power of God that has saved you and all believers. In Matthew's gospel, where Jesus returns as king, he says to the righteous, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited to me. I was in prison and you came to me." Starvation, thirst, imprisonment, exile, nakedness, and sickness. Those were the things that the early Christians endured and suffered because they followed Jesus. They were starved out of their homes. They were arrested and jailed. They were exiled from their communities with nothing but the clothes on their back, all because they believed in Jesus. The devil did everything in his power to make them ashamed of the gospel so they would deny Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And Paul was one of those who persecuted the church. He was a zealous Pharisee who tried to eradicate the church through arrest and persecution. He was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians there and bring them back to Jerusalem for trial when he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. Since Christ's ascension, Christians throughout the world have been forced to deny Christ or suffer the shame of painful persecution or grisly death. And just recently, Vice President Pence's wife, Karen, was attacked by the media. An op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal about this incident was titled, "The Shaming of Karen Pence. What was Mrs. Pence's crime? She plans to teach art part-time at Emmanuel Christian School in Northern Virginia, a small private K through 8th grade academy where she has taught before. It adheres to a biblically rooted view of human sexuality." CNN's John King suggests that what Mrs. Pence has done is so grievous that maybe taxpayers shouldn't fund her Secret Service security protection. And the American Civil Liberties Union says that she is a terrible message to students. What are these attacks but attempts to shame Mrs. Pence into submitting to the ways of the world? But Jesus didn't hide the fact that the world would hate Christians because we follow him, which makes us different. He said in Matthew's gospel, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." Yet as you look across the Christian landscape of North America, you see dozens of denominations and thousands of Christian churches that have given up on the gospel. Why? So they can remain culturally relevant and friends of the world. So they are ashamed of the gospel. So the world is not ashamed of them. But isn't it ironic, though? Ours is a culture that's no longer ashamed of shameful behavior, but we're ashamed of God's message of salvation. We're ashamed of the very message that proclaims God's love for sinners. Yet the Apostle Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. You see, Paul knew firsthand what it was like to be one of those who wasn't saved, to be one of those who, being ashamed of the gospel, was on the path to damnation. In his zeal to destroy the church, he was on that path to God's wrath and condemnation. Yet in his spiritual blindness, he thought he was doing the right and godly thing. But then he met Jesus. But then he had a face-to-face encounter with the gospel. There on the road to Damascus, God struck Paul blind. He struck him blind so that he could see. So that he could see that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. The Jew first and then the Greek. After Paul was baptized and God restored his sight, the very first thing this once feared persecutor of the church did was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because once Paul heard the gospel, he realized that he was a damned sinner. That the gospel, the message of Jesus, had saved him. For it had revealed God's grace to him, God's gracious love for sinners. And that through the message of Christ and him crucified, Paul was saved. He would later write to Timothy, "This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Having been baptized as infants, many of us don't know what it's like to be a lost and condemned sinner. But for Paul, he knew. And the message of the gospel was all the more sweeter to his ears. Since the gospel announced that Christ Jesus gave his all to save sinners, well, Paul was willing then to give his all for Christ so others may hear and believe. He wrote to the Philippians, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ." Paul wasn't ashamed that God loved him with such a great love. And his response to God's great love for him was to tell the good news about Jesus to others, no matter what it cost Paul personally. For because of the gospel, Paul was dead to the world and the world was dead to him. But most importantly of all, he was alive to Christ. Yet how easy is it to be like Paul in such a God-forsaken culture as ours? It's not easy. Because it's not easy, we all need encouragement to be strong, to be steadfast in the gospel. In our text, Paul thanks God for the faith of the Roman Christians, a faith that is known throughout the world. He writes, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is proclaimed in all the world." Faith isn't simply believing in Jesus Christ and then doing nothing for him. That's what Jesus calls putting your light under a basket. Faith is also active. Active above all in love for God and in love for a neighbor. In other words, faith is acting and doing what God, what Jesus commands. And this was not an easy thing to do in pagan Rome. Those early Christians were labeled atheists because they refused to worship the emperor. And if you didn't worship the emperor, you were guilty of treason. So Paul wants to visit them, that he may encourage them and they may encourage him with the gospel. "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." This reminds us that as Christians, we are not alone islands in this world, but that we are a fellowship of believers. And there are many Christians throughout the world who suffer the same things that we suffer and yet remain steadfast in the faith, doing what God commands, even in the face of persecution. And that's gospel too. That we encourage one another, that we love one another, that we instruct one another, that we rebuke one another when necessary, and that we forgive one another. Paul wants to visit them so he can preach the gospel to them. Not once does he retreat from the gospel, because he knows that the Roman Christians are Christians because of the power of the gospel. They believe in Jesus Christ and are saved because of the gospel. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. There is no good reason to be ashamed of the gospel. When you remember that you're here today because of the gospel, you're on your way to heaven with sins forgiven and hearts filled with faith in Jesus Christ because of the gospel. You know that God loves you, a sinner, a love you don't deserve, but a love God so wonderfully gives because of the gospel. And yet we need to encourage one another with the gospel. We need the gospel proclaimed to us daily to remind us of the salvation that God the Father has worked for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And to help us live as His witnesses in this world gone mad with sin and unbelief. Why? We do so, so that others may have what God has given to us. Salvation. The devil wants to shame us into silence. But the love of God revealed in the gospel compels us to tell the good news about Jesus and to live a life that honors the Savior who gave His all for us. We need to encourage one another with the gospel, to impart faith and to strengthen that faith and to encourage right living before God. How many hours a week do you hear unbelief proclaimed to you through the media and through your friends and coworkers and people at work and at school? We need to hear the gospel truth. We need to hear it every day so we can stand in a world that is deluged by the lies of the devil. And while the world doesn't have much of a future, you do. Because the Holy Spirit has given you faith in Jesus Christ through the gospel. Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel because the gospel gave him God's love and grace. It gave him his Savior. It gave him the blood that covers all his sin. It gave him the righteousness that he needs to stand before God on Judgment Day. And it gave him the power to stand against beatings, imprisonments, slanders, betrayals, abandonment, and even in the face of death, the gospel empowered him to live a life that confesses that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. We Christians don't take pride in our sins like the rest of the world does. We are ashamed of our worldliness, and that is a gift from God. But we are not ashamed of the gospel. We're not ashamed because the gospel gives us life and salvation through Jesus Christ. We're not ashamed because the gospel gives us a future when the world wants to rob us of the present. We're not ashamed because we know the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. And because Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, every one of us is here today. Gentile believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Gentile believers who will join our voices with the saints and the angels in heaven, singing the praises and excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness into His wondrous light. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand.